You may remember from last week's message in Ruth that we had seen a number of things that happened in her life that were disastrous, and she literally wanted to change her name to the word Mara, which means bitter. Not Ruth, but Naomi, her mother-in-law. I'm sorry. Ruth is the daughter-in-law of Naomi, the one that's gone through quite a lot of this. Ruth also had some disaster. Her husband had died, and she had the opportunity to stay in her homeland of Moab, but she said, no, I want to have the same God that Naomi has. Interesting statement when Naomi's God has, and I got to say this right, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but Naomi's husband has died, Naomi's sons have died, and Ruth still wants Naomi's God. Amen? So it's something that Ruth had some faith there. And then last week we kind of let you know that it's a happy story because in the end, Ruth is one of the most blessed women in the Bible. She becomes a part of the line of Christ, and she is the great-grandmother or grandmother, I can't remember, of David. And so she is in a royal line. She comes from, on her side, the Moabites, who were the children of Lot, who are the enemies of Israel, and her husband, ultimately Boaz, also comes from less than pristine blood because his maternal line included Rahab the harlot from Jericho. And what can God do with us if we'll let him? Amen? Don't you think God wants us to trust him? What if we just trusted God? What if we quit worrying and just trusted God? Say, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. Well, when Peter was walking on the water, he didn't know what was going to happen either. Just keep walking, amen? And when they were in the boat in the Sea of Galilee and the storm came and they were afraid they were going to perish, and the Lord said, ye of little faith. They should have trusted him, amen? By the way, if you're in the boat with the Lord, you are safe. I don't care how big this storm is. Just make sure you stay in the boat with the Lord. Amen? So, a little rushed for time tonight, but that's fine. We'll spend about 15, 20 minutes here. And look at Ruth chapter 1. They return back from Moab, back to Naomi's land. And Naomi has a connection with the tribe of Judah, which is important, and very important, in fact. And so they go back to Bethlehem, and you may remember that Bethlehem, same place the Lord Jesus Christ was born, is the city of David, and that's Bethlehem. And so Ruth, that's her city as well. So they went, in verse 19, says, the two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass. Now, I'm just going to stop right there. You're going to see some phrases in here that sound like, oh, it just happened. Oh, it just sort of, it just kind of went. No. Folks, God's in control. Amen. I heard it humorously said, aren't you glad it comes to pass and doesn't come to stay? Amen? Sometimes things come to pass. Praise the Lord. But that's not really what the phrase means. It came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem, in verse 19, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. We were looking at, in a devotion this week, at what Jacob said. All these things are against me. For the 100th time, just remember, the story's not over yet. And does God have the ability to turn things on a dime? He sure does. And so, the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. It may not be that simple. I think she's underestimating the Lord and overestimating her troubles. But, again, we'll keep going. She says in verse 21, I went out full. Well, not really. But anyway, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Not really. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me and the Almighty hath afflicted me? I just say it plainly. This lady has a misunderstanding of the circumstances and a misunderstanding of the Lord. Amen? And the Lord's always there. You know, that's what the devil will tell us. You have gotten crosswise with God, and there's no getting back. What would happen if we just said, I want to go back? Lord, I'm sorry for what I did. I want to be right with you. Do you think God would receive us? You know he would. So she's got an artificial barrier here, but we're going to see how God takes care of that. Verse 22, so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, God's going to remind us about that, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. So that's a nice time to arrive. No, that's the perfect time to arrive. That's exactly when you needed to be there. God's in control. The sovereignty of God is very clear here, because this is how you're going to find Boaz, and this is how you're going to wind up seeing God's plan come to pass. Nope, they're at the right place at the right time. They just don't know it. Verse 1 of chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Ruth said this now, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. I'll keep reading. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap. Now, we don't use that word that way, but it's the same place we get the word happened. You might say it happened, but anyway, her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Let's have a word of prayer if we could. Father, thank you tonight. Lord, as we gathered tonight, we see situations and circumstances that might seem disastrous to us. They might seem displeasing to us, or they might seem as if they are going the direction that we don't want to go, or causing an effect that we don't want to experience. And Lord, that's exactly what happened to Naomi. She had been through something just like that. And her misunderstanding was that it was because you didn't love her anymore, that you were against her, she had no hope, that her life was just bitterness. And Lord, sometimes we can feel that way, that our life is just bitterness, that we just face trials and no blessings, and we don't see the good things. But Lord, we already know the end of the story, that it's going to be anything but bitterness, and that it's going to be wonderful. And Lord, I pray tonight that you'd help us to have the same kind of hope that Naomi ought to have had, and help us to see just a few simple things now in this passage. I ask in Christ's name, amen. Now, if you were my high school Bible class, and I don't teach Bible this year, but if you were my high school Bible class, I would ask you to look at that outline or that passage right there and underline all the things that are part of God's plan, okay? For example, Naomi is from Bethlehem. Boaz is of the tribe of Elimelech. There's a connection there so that he is going to be eligible later on to take Ruth as his wife. They come back at the right time of year, the time of barley harvest, so that there's going to be this connection between the two. And by the way, it also provided for their immediate needs, which were food. That this kinsman happens to be, and that's what the Bible says, and it's just a play on words almost, but just happens to be that Ruth just happens to go to the right field where the answer is. All of that, it looks like a bunch of coincidences and circumstances that just happened to be. Folks, did it ever occur to us? Nothing occurred to God. God's got a plan. Did they ever realize that the thing that you and I probably see as just, oh, that's just one of those things that happened? In many cases, and maybe I could even exaggerate and say, in whatever case, God's in control. And you know, I'm not saying every little thing in your life has ultimate significance, but I am saying this. A lot of the things that we think are either bad, Naomi's husband died, or that we think are just a coincidence that we come to the right place at the right time, it's God doing that. Amen. I think Romans 8:28 is still in the book. You want to look real quick, Brother Hickson, and see if it's still there? I think it's still there. That all things work together for them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. That verse is still in the Bible, amen? So this is a nice little picture for those of us that would like to worry and that would like to be bitter and that would like to think that God's against us. So wait a minute, that's not it at all. It didn't just so happen, God did it, right? Let's just look at two or three things here, and I've already named each one of them, I think. Look what we have. Look what Ruth had. It's the same thing that we have. And the first one you'll see in verse 1 of chapter 2, Naomi had a kinsman. Now, you're going to see later, I'm going to just label this kinsman a hero because he's going to deliver. This kinsman, by the way, his name is Boaz. He has the resources to deliver, doesn't he? He's got the wealth. He's got the provision. He could feed Ruth and Naomi and 100 other people and wouldn't bother him in the least. He's got the resources to feed them. He's in a position to help them, and I can't explain that all right now, but once again, it's important that he has a relationship here because later on, that is going to allow him to marry Ruth. He is in the very place, and I talked about this last week, that just right next to Bethlehem, there's that place that's called the Field of Boaz that was still there in the 1900s. And I don't know if it's the exact same place or not. Those things tend to move around. But anyway, he's in the right place. He is everything that Naomi and Ruth need. And isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ is to us? Amen? I use the word hero. He didn't have to deliver. He could have told Ruth, he said, leave us alone, you're just in the way, go somewhere else. She didn't necessarily deserve his favor, but did we deserve the Lord's favor? And it's funny as we keep reading, and I want to tell you the whole story all in one night, but later on what's going to happen is she's going to take, okay, gleaning. Let's understand what gleaning is. I think most of you know, but just in case, for the young people here perhaps. Gleaning is when the people in the field, they're harvesting. And my mother actually my adopted mother used to do this. She would go out to the fields after they had picked the potatoes or picked the beans or picked the corn or whatever, and the farmer would say, whatever's left, you can have it. And maybe the people harvesting were sloppy a little bit, or maybe they just missed something by accident, or maybe it wasn't the best stuff, and so they left it there. And you can go get it. It's gleaning. It's getting what's left. In the Bible, there is actually instructions in the Levitical law that if you had a field, you were not to harvest the corners of the field. You were to leave the corner unharvested so that people like this could come and have something to eat. And I heard Nelson Doar do a tremendous devotion on that about 10 years ago. Still sticks in my mind. I'll tell you some other time. But the point is, there was a provision here for people that were poor. And when Ruth went back to her mother-in-law, we'll see this in the next week or so, her mother-in-law said, you got too much here. What happened? And that's because Boaz was telling his reapers, make sure you leave a lot for her. He was showing her favor. Doesn't God show us favor like that? Amen. Why does the Lord Jesus Christ owe us anything? He doesn't. He loves us. You say, well, I don't see that in my circumstances. No, no, no. He loves you enough to get you through the circumstances and to meet your needs in the circumstances and to bless you and to get the glory for him, which in turn makes us happy if we give glory to God. No, we have a hero just like she did, this kinsman, someone related to us. Now, you're saved, right? You're adopted into God's family. He has one only begotten son, John 1:18. He's not one of a kind, like many of the bad translations say. He's only begotten. He's the only begotten son, but does God have more sons? Yeah, got me. He's got you and daughters, amen? Now, when God adopted you into that family, who did you become related to? His son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Amen. So we have a kinsman. I got to tell you this story. I love this story. You've heard it four or five times. I got to tell you again. I went to court. The judge tells the fellow who was trying to sue our church. He said, I just want you to know that I'm the godfather of the church's attorney's child. Or maybe the other way around. But anyway, we're related. And you are fighting against an attorney and a judge that are related. Would you like another judge? No, he said, I'll do fine. No, he lost. When you and I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and he judges us, you're being judged by family. That's good. Amen. Amen? We have a kinsman. He has the resources to deliver us, and he loves us. He has everything. He has, by the way, Boaz's name means in him is strength. I think of a verse. The Bible says when we're weak, he is strong. Amen? See, maybe things aren't as bad as we think they are. Maybe things aren't as bad as Naomi thinks they are. You can tell she thinks they're pretty bad. No, she had a hero. We have a hero, a kinsman. We have a hope. Look at verse 2. Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. You see, there was a field where Ruth could find sustenance. Now, let me just explain again. They're there at the right time. It's harvest time. They're hungry. God has already made a provision for them to have something to eat. And it's a hope. We can see it better than they can right here. What Ruth and Naomi could see is, well, at least there's a place where I can get food. What did David say? He said, I have been young, now I am old, yet I have never seen God's seed begging for bread. God provides for us, doesn't he? And sadly, sometimes we think our wants are needs, but truthfully, God gives us our needs and our wants. Now, they had hope. They had a place to go. And they didn't understand at the time, but they were going to the perfect place, the place that was owned by the one that could help them. And there was food to eat. They're not going to go hungry. There was a longing for grace, which is the favor, and there was a hope of finding it. She says, I want to find grace. Did she find grace? Oh, yeah. I was praying just now. I think of Hebrews 4:16, the throne of grace that we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Can I challenge you, think of a need God can't meet. No such thing, is there? So we have hope, don't we? The Bible says that we're blessed when our hope is in the Lord our God. The word blessed means happy. What are you hoping in? Well, Pastor, I hope I have enough money. Wrong hope. Well, Pastor, I hope I stay healthy. Wrong hope. Well, Pastor, I hope things go well. No. I hope in God. And circumstances are not the issue. God's the issue. She had a hope. We have a hope. Amen? Now, gleaning is taking what is left. Interesting thought. Did the Lord Jesus Christ come to save the Jews or the Gentiles? Be careful. He came to his own, John chapter 1, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, John 1:12, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Do you realize we're all Gentiles here, I think? Do you realize we got the leftovers? Pretty good leftovers, amen? Amen. I really enjoy church potlucks. We need to have more potlucks. And I like to, there's a military tradition that officers eat last. Mark, you were a senior NCO. You went towards the back of the line, didn't you, when you ate? The NCOs would eat at the senior NCOs back of the line, then the officers last. Enlisted men eat first. So when you're in the Army, and the reason they do that is because if there's not enough food, it's the officer that goes hungry, which is right. I mean, that's the way it ought to be. If he didn't plan well, he should go hungry. So, but if you're going to a church potluck and gone hungry, I haven't. I've seen a couple of times where I got a little nervous, but it's funny how God always provides way more. And don't you like that? You're going down the line and there's a little of that left and a little of that left, and before you know it, your plate's piled about that high. Amen? And oh, maybe you missed one or two things that are gone, but there's so much there, who cares? Even the leftovers with God are great, amen? And the gleaning is sufficient, and then some. In fact, as we read later, I want to tell you, she comes home with a whole bunch, more than she needs, and God gives us more than we need. We have hope. We have a hero, verse 1. We have a hope, verse 2. And then look at verse 3. He says, she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. Okay, that's the gleaning. And her hap. Now again, that phrase hap, that word her hap, means it happened. It just so happened that she would light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Did it just happen? No, God made it happen. Amen? Wouldn't that be interesting? You get up in the morning and you think, I wonder what field I ought to go to. I have no idea. Let's just start walking down the road. Oh, here's a field. And it looks like they're reaping here. Maybe I can glean here. And it just happens to be the very field that God wanted you in. Can God do that? Amen. All the time. She had a hero. She had a hope. And she had a help. And her help was God. And he took her to the right place on the right day with the right kinsman. And everything was just what it needed to be. That's how God works. Now, why? If someone said, well, you know, I got to Bethlehem and I went downtown and I got the register out and I found out where my kinsman was. I'm so smart. I found the kinsman and I went to his field. Who gets the glory for that? Me. Or whoever did that, okay? But when I go to the place and I don't know where to go and I just trust God and then God meets my need, who gets the glory? I got to finish with this illustration and then we'll be done. My wife and I were moving back to Salt Lake City to go to begin the ministry and going to go work with the church there, going to be on staff. When we left Salt Lake City, you could look in the newspaper, there'd be a whole page of rentals. I remembered seeing it, and I thought it's going to be easy to find a house to rent. By the time we got ready to go back to Salt Lake City, a couple of years later, there was one column of rentals in the newspaper, not even a full column. There was no rental property. And we needed very specific rental property. We had three children, and we had a dog, but we left the dog in Texas. And we needed a particular kind of place. Long story short, we couldn't find one, and we literally packed our stuff up in a moving truck, and the fellow said, where do I deliver this? And I said, I don't know. I haven't got a place to go yet. I just know I'm going to Salt Lake City. Go that way. So he said, well, let me tell you something. If we get to Salt Lake City and it's the day to unload and you haven't got a rental property, I'm going to go to a warehouse, and they're going to charge you $3,000 to inventory this and store it for you. That's about what I had paid to get it there. I think I paid $6,000 to get it there. This is back in the 90s. And so I didn't have $3,000 to spend on that. I didn't have much money at all. And so we didn't know where we were going to go. We arrived in Salt Lake City on a Saturday. The furniture was coming on Tuesday. I had no house. Went around Saturday, saw a couple of places, nothing. Saturday night, we're staying in a lady's house, and we're looking at the newspaper, and my wife sees one, and I said, no, that wouldn't be any good. Never tell your wife that. That's a good one, she said. And you better check that out. Okay. So the next morning I got up before church, called them, and they said, yeah, come see it this afternoon. So we went and saw it. It was just what we needed. And Sunday afternoon, furniture's going to be there Tuesday morning. Sunday afternoon, no place to live. Monday morning, go down to the realtor, and I said, hey, we like this place. We need it today because tomorrow the furniture's getting here. She says, nah, I've never done that. I've never gotten you one in one day before. She said, I might get one in 2 days. I said, can you try? Yeah, we'll try. 4 o'clock on Monday afternoon. Furniture's going to be there Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock. 4 o'clock, the realtor calls me and says, come get the key. It's yours. Pretty close, huh? Then why did God do it that way? Because I still remember it. If we'd have just made a phone call and found a house a month beforehand, whatever. But this way, God gets the glory. The reason God puts close calls in your life is so God gets the glory. Amen? Because you know you didn't do it. God did it. Same thing happened to Ruth. Same thing can happen to us. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.